Continuing with our series on a journey of life, we were looking at the journey of self-recognition or of finding one's full potential. Now, having made the intention to travel on the journey of this recognition, we now have to address the issue of where to seek our guidance and what path to traverse. If we look at the ayah we've been looking at or focusing at, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, it has three aspects, اهدنا, guidance, صراط, the path, and مستقيم, straight or the right path. Going back to Mantiq al-Tayr, we find that it is the Hudhud who is the guide to get to the Simurgh, or the king as such, which, if you remember from the first episode, actually is oneself within. Just as Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu." One who has recognized himself has recognized his Rabb. Well, let's go back to the Quran. Look at Surah Al-Taha, surah number 20, ayah 49 and 50. We find Fir'aun asks Musa, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى Who is your Rabb, O Musa? And Musa replies, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْتَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى Our Rabb is He who gives everything its creation, then He guides it to its goal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with the guidance. Now in life, there are two forms of guidance. We have a guidance which is known as Jabr, where there is no choice. For example, the sun has no choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yasin says, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ The sun has a set orbit through which it goes. And that is the qadr, that is what has been destined for it. And then you have the moon, for him we have ordained that it will go through stages until it becomes like an old withered date palm. So we can see that the sun, the moon, the planets, they don't have a choice, but they follow a certain order. The bee, for example, is inspired to go to the flowers in order to make honey. But well, an acorn, if you look at an acorn, it doesn't have a choice. It has to grow into an oak tree. So one guidance is where you don't have a choice. The next guidance is ikhtiyari, or voluntary or free will. And human beings have been given this guidance of this form. This then is further divided into two. One is called zahiri, which is the apparent guidance. And then you have batini, which is the hidden guidance. So we will look first at the zahiri guidance, because in essence the batini guidance, the hidden guidance, manifests itself in the form of the nafs, or what you call the zamir, the inner voice that tells you so many things, the inner voice that speaks to you if you allow it to, if you are able to awaken it. And the only way to awaken it is through concentration on the apparent or the zahiri guidance. So the zahiri guidance comes into two forms. We have the Qur'an, and then we have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt, which form our other form. So we're first going to look at this Qur'an, which forms a zahiri guidance. You know, in Surah Al-Furqan, Surah number 25, ayah 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولَ And the messenger will say, يَا رَبِّي, O my Rabb, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّقَذُوا الْحَذَ الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا Indeed, these people of mine, they took this book as a form of mockery. They didn't take it seriously. So important that we first understand what this book is all about. We've been looking at Q114 to be able to familiarize ourselves with it. But let's first look at the revelatory status of the Quran. The Quran is a bound book. It's got pages, it's got numbers, it's got ayat. It's his book, not ours. So let's look at the demarcation between a book from divinity and a book from the created. The difference from his book and our book is that he gives an awesome challenge. Look at Surah An-Nisa, ayah 82. He says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا He says, do they not ponder over the Qur'an? If it were from any other than Allah, they would have found in it much ikhtilaf. Ikhtilaf means there were found a lot of differences. In evolutionary knowledge, there's two types of knowledges. You have the evolutionary knowledge, which evolves, and you have the revelationary knowledge, which descends. In evolutionary knowledge, it is through differences and disputes and contradictions that we progress. Ikhtilaf is not a liability in evolutionary knowledge, but it's an asset. Because if we didn't have ikhtilaf, if we didn't have differences, we would not progress. You know, no subject, whether it's abstract or concrete, whether it's in the science or the arts, progresses without ikhtilaf. If you look at a museum, it graphically portrays the history of progress through ikhtilaf. For example, for 200 years, Newton's theories remained unchallenged. Then came progress through challenge. If you compare old books and new books on the same subject, you will see the flaws in the thinking of the old. But the Quran, because it is not evolutionary, it is revelationary, it presents a challenge. It says, find ikhtilaf in our books and declare that it's not from Allah. But you can't do that. Even the one who says, Ana madinat al-ilm wa aliyun babuha, I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its door, did not write the book. We find the Quran, the Prophet always says, Qul, say, he's supposed to say. He doesn't even say a sentence without saying exactly the way it was revealed to him. Absolutely awesome. Let's look at a normal book produced by a human being. We find in a book, it has a topic, a theme, it's arranged in chapters, there's an introduction, there's a conclusion. The Quran is no subject, no topic, no introduction, no beginning, no end, no middle. Wherever you pick it up, it is Quran. The linguists of the Arab world took it upon themselves as a challenge, but they couldn't even comment on it. There's a wonderful talk or paper written by Dr. Taha Hussein, and he says that the words in the Quran compress so much in such small sentences that it's like concealed lightning in a word. You know, and the originality of the Quran stands, like I mentioned before, even the word qul, say, is not omitted. It is the direct communications of the word of divinity. And its eloquence, its rhetoric, it just cannot be challenged. If you look at the marketplace of Aqaz, poetry was displayed and there were seminars held. And the best of them were displayed on the Kaaba. A poet whose name was Libayd ibn Ziyad, he embraced Islam after listening to Quran and he stopped composing. He says, I can no longer do it. If this is the words, all others are nonsensical. He said, I enjoy the Quran so much, there is no pleasure that is comparable to it. And it's inherently incorruptible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 23, look at the challenge he says, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأَتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you have any doubt that this is a revelation from your to our abd, to our messenger, means Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then bring one chapter like it, and then bring your witnesses other than Allah if you are truthful. Look what he says about the Quran. I love these ayat. They're so beautiful. Surah 39, Ayah 23. Surah Az-Zumar, he says, Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan mathani. Allah has revealed the best announcement, a book that conforms to various parts, repeating itself. تَخْشَعِرُ مِنْهُ جُلُودِ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودَهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. ذَلِكَ هَدَ اللَّهِ يَحْدِهِ بِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's beautiful. Then he says, those who read it, their hair stands on end. And you find that their skin and their hearts then incline towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautiful. He says, skins shudder. The skins and hearts lean towards his remembrance. That is the response to the Quran. You know, how can one book be enough till the day of Qiyamah, I ask ourselves. You know, in life there are so many constants, so many variables. Variables change, constants remain. Hunger remains as a constant. Variety of food changes. Quran is constant. The eras may change. Imam Ja'far Sadiq says, the Quran is living. Its message never dies. It turns like the turn of the day and night. It is in motion like the sun and the moon. It will embrace the last of us the way it embraced the first of us. So now if we accept it as the perfect book, where do we begin to study it? How do we do it? There are so many aspects of Ilm al-Quran besides reciting it correctly. There is the Fahm, which is understanding. The Alum, which is learning. There is Tafsir, which is the commentary. Then there is the Dabbur, which is pondering. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, the Quran is Allah's university. Learn as much as you can in this university. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, nothing shall remain of the Quran except its name in the last days. But he says, the reason being that Muslims will not respond to it. So how do we respond to the Quran? As I mentioned in the ayah where Allah says, the skins shudder and the skins and heart lean towards His remembrance. How do we do that? Inshallah, tomorrow we will now start looking at how we need to respond to the Quran.